The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Pollard streaks in! Touchdown!
Parsons has sacked it! Prescott keeps it! And he bangs it in for the touchdown!
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Nick Harris, and Kyle Yeomans.
Well, welcome into another edition of Talking Cowboys featuring myself, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, and Patrick Nosey Walker. I'm Haley Sutton in for Kyle Yeomans one final time as he wraps up his honeymoon celebration.
That boy got a bougie celebration.
I know,
too.
Right?
Boy, you're going
extended.
Cruising around Alaska.
Come on, man. I'm from Seattle, and I never even had the money to go to Alaska. So I'm trying to see what kind of money is this boy making around here.
All I know is I need pics. Kyle Yeomans, I know you're listening. I need pics. I need videos because I have not yet had the pleasure to go to Alaska, but I know for a fact it is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. So congratulations on that. But I need to live vicariously through him like I did you through you in Mexico with the whales. And
wow.
Yeah.
You guys have nice vacations.
It was a bougie trip.
They
my,
do.
My Mexico trip
they
was
do.
Very bougie.
I drive to the Star for my vacation. That's the only vacation I get, Nick. You know?
Yeah, the staycation.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't you just come back
ones.
From
no.
the trip? Weren't you just in Seattle like 48 hours ago?
No, I wish I got to go somewhere. I don't get to go anywhere. You see, my summer, I try to look for it. This would be the only week that my family and I can actually travel anywhere. Like, this is the only 1 week that we have because of the track. My kids are in track, so.
One of the best sports ever.
Yeah, it just consumes your whole summer.
Yeah, but it's so, oh my God.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I used to hate running summer track. It was like the bane of my existence. But anyways, we move on. What did I run?
Yeah, what'd you run?
What do you think I ran?
I don't know. I'm not going to guess. It's like guessing somebody's age. You don't guess what event somebody partake in.
I was a sprinter.
Nice.
So I ran the 1, the 2, the 800.
But see, that's not a sprint.
I know, but that's what I was going to say. It wasn't my choice. Okay. My coach made me run the 800.
She did. She said she ran the 1. So
yeah, I ran the 1, the 2.
The 800 is a sprint for some people.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what their lungs are.
It's because I played soccer, and so it was a good balance.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Like
she got her lungs are different.
Yeah, and then actually, I was a very good long jumper, triple jumper.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I actually, real quick flex, I learned how to triple jump the day of my first ever track meet in the 8th grade.
Okay.
And I never lost.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Low flex.
Set
the tone this
champion.
Morning, guys.
A little bit of a flex. I like it. I like it a lot.
All right, let's get into some Cowboys conversations today. A lot of news happening around the league, but the biggest that we actually discussed yesterday at lunch, Patrick, is the new quarterback rule that has been enlisted for the NFL in this upcoming season. I'm going to let you dive into the details of it, but real quick, just here's the skinny on what that looks like. So essentially, the NFL is allowing rosters to add a third quarterback onto their game day roster as long as that player is on the 53.
Right.
And the best part about it is it doesn't affect your inactives. It doesn't affect your roster cap in terms of a 53-man roster, a 45-man game day roster. There are some caveats to it. That third quarterback cannot play in a game until the first and second string quarterbacks have gone out. But obviously, a lot of flexibility in terms of what teams can do with that rule, specifically the Cowboys, who have three quarterbacks on their roster this year. Patrick, kind of just dive into what that looks like for this team and what it's going to kind of look like for the NFL.
Well, first of all, that sound you hear is Will Greer smiling ear to ear, because this rule basically guarantees that, you know, assuming he remains the third quarterback on the team, it basically guarantees he gets to suit up every single week. Now, as you said, Haley, he doesn't get to play unless both QB1, Dak Prescott, and Cooper Rush, QB2, are injured in that particular game, and then he gets to go in. But once they're medically cleared, which is another caveat, once they're medically cleared, if they're medically cleared to return to that game, he has to come back out of the game. So that's kind of the dance there. But the beauty of it is for the Cowboys is they'll never be in a situation like we saw the 49ers in the NFC Championship against the Philadelphia Eagles when Christian McCaffrey was taking warm-up reps, possibly about to go in at QB. So that's what that rule is. We can kind of dub it the Christian McCaffrey rule, right? But you got to love it because it also means that the Cowboys, neither, you know, nor any of the other 31 teams, have to burn a roster spot. It's more or less a roster exemption specific for QB3 on a week-to-week basis. So like you said, Haley, rule number one is they have to make the active 53-man roster and final cutdowns. You cannot stash the QB on the practice squad because anyone that's elevated in any given week is not eligible to be designated as your emergency QB. And they have to make that designation the same time they make the inactives known, which is 90 minutes, no later than 90 minutes prior to kickoff. So those are the key things. But for Will Greer, who is still going to compete with Cooper Rush, I know Cooper Rush's re-signing strongly implies that he's going to be the QB too, but we're not going to sit here and say there's not going to be a battle there. Will Greer arguably took the lead in that battle last summer before he suffered the groin injury. I look forward to that, you know, battle happening again in training camp in July. But, I mean, it's a fantastic rule all around. Can't say the same about the other rule that was approved yesterday, and I'll toss to Nick Harris for that
subtle,
one.
Subtle tease there.
But I guess you get a win, but you got to take a loss as well if you're an NFL fan. So the loss is the Thursday night flex rule. I'll let Harris dive into that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the owners' meetings yesterday, the NFL also approved Thursday night football flex scheduling, which basically allows the NFL 28 days before, so you have to have a 28-day notice, 4 weeks, to move a Thursday night football game to Sunday and then move a Sunday afternoon game to Thursday night. There's a lot of different stipulations that they would have to meet. It can only be in week 13 through 17 because there's not a Thursday night football game in week 18. A team can't be on the road two times on a Thursday night game, and they still can only have two Thursday night games. So it's a slim chance that anything even happens with the flex Thursday night football scheduling. But let's say you are a Jets fan, and y'all are playing in Denver in week 17, and you have just always wanted to go to Mile High on a Thursday night, and you find out 28 days before that it's going to be Sunday afternoon. You got to change all of your scheduling. You got to move your flights around, move your tickets around. And that's why 8 voters voted against it. The Cowboys did vote for it. 24-8 was the final count, and 24 is the minimum allowed to pass a rule. And it passed barely, but there's some fans that are very upset about it. Giants owner is very upset about it. It looks like Isaiah Stanback to my right is upset about it.
Doesn't hear
it,
man. This league,
I am as well. It's unfortunate for the fans.
Say it with your chest.
I mean, to be honest with you, that aspect really doesn't bother me that much. The whole Thursday night flex thing, it doesn't affect Dallas, right? Dallas already has two Thursday night games scheduled, correct? So we got obviously
just one.
I thought it was Thanksgiving
They do. It's not Thursday night.
Thanksgiving is Thursday night.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, so yes, I mean, it is whatever to me. As a player, you don't like Thursday night games. Let's just call it how it is. Mm-hmm. You hate Thursday night games because your body literally just recovered the day before from the previous week. So from the player's perspective, it absolutely sucks. But let's be honest, this league is not forward facing in terms of taking care of the players. Nope. This is about the money in the pockets of the owner. So knowing that that's the fact, you shrug your shoulders and you say, okay, this is just another thing that helps them put more money in their pocket. The third quarterback thing, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
And how coaches and organizations work around that rule, because now all of a sudden it's like, ow, my knee hurts. Okay, come on in here for this next quarter real quick.
I feel like you're hinting at some Bill Belichick-y type
maneuvering. I'm just saying, there's always a workaround, okay? There's always a workaround. So I am looking more forward to that third quarterback and how organizations determine to go forward with that. You know how it's going to go. Oh, my gosh, I sprained my big toe.
Stomach bug.
Let me go get it scanned real quick, right?
And so guy starts, the backup quarterback starts 0 for 5, and then suddenly his stomach starts
it's
hurting.
It's a miracle.
I don't feel well.
So, that's what I'm interested in. But the whole flex thing, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not surprised.
I was going to say, it doesn't surprise me.
No.
Here's the thing about the Thursday night game, so that we found, and I don't know if this was just by chance last season because it was new, it was Amazon Prime, it was a new group of people trying to get it together. So I think the production as a whole will be better this year now that they've got it under, they've got a season under their belt, they've been developing. So that was a big issue with Thursday night football last year. And then the second issue with Thursday night football is, I'm going to say 77% of the matchups that we saw on Thursday Night Football last year were awful.
Trash.
And the one that comes to mind, it was the Broncos and the was it the Rams that went to like double overtime, and it was like 6-3.
Oh, that was the
something.
One that was – it was in Denver.
It was
just abysmal football.
It was horrible from top to bottom, and I feel like every single week it just kind of went to that. So I don't know if that was just like a scheduling issue. Yeah. Hopefully they'll get that worked out. But to your point, Isaiah, the Cowboys aren't really affected in that way because they're not going to flex their Thanksgiving game, and then they're not going to flex the following Thursday night game that next week. So good to know for other teams going forward. I don't think it affects this team. What I do want to circle back to, though, is the third quarterback roster spot, because something that I was kind of diving into yesterday, I didn't know a ton about Will Grier. I came and he had already kind of been established, and so I didn't really get an opportunity to get to know him or know anything about him. And so I kind of want to default to you guys here. This is a guy who has been in the league for a couple of years now. You mentioned Cooper Rush just signed the two-year extension, so he's likely the backup quarterback. Yep. But Will Grier to me is interesting because his college tape and how he played it as a collegiate athlete is so much different from his NFL experience. He doesn't have a ton, and when he did, the reps necessarily weren't there. But I wonder how happy he is in the place that he is right now, sitting at that third quarterback spot. Is he competitive? Does he want that backup quarterback role? There's a lot of things to dive into when it comes to Will Grier, so I kind of just want to open this up to you guys. In terms of value, when you look at Will Grier as a quarterback on this roster, where do we see his value? You mentioned seeing him compete for Cooper Rush at training camp. Is that something that we're expected to see again? I mean, like, realistically, how realistic is it for the Cowboys to utilize that role, I guess?
I'm interested to hear the former quarterback's take on this.
I think the window closed for him, unfortunately. I think last year, last camp was his opportunity, and unfortunately, when he got hurt, that window dwindled.
Yeah.
That killed his reps, right? It really came down to the third preseason game that he had an opportunity, and that was a quick, he didn't have the greatest of showings in that short stint. So that was predetermined, but it was determined relatively quickly in that third game that, okay, you're now our third string. Right. Cooper Rush had the opportunities. He took advantage of the opportunities.
Cool and now Luke.
He took care of business when called upon last year as well during the regular season. So because of that, clap bravo. And now all of a sudden he gets a contract extension. He is now solidified as your backup quarterback. Unfortunately for Will Grier, he has some things he still needs to work on. Last year was his shot. Okay, this preseason he will have another opportunity, but you are trying out not only for your third string of your current team, but you're trying out for if you were to get cut, which I don't foresee that happening now, but if you were to get cut for whatever reason, you're trying out for the rest of the NFL and hopefully trying to earn a backup role. He, to me, is a very good competitor. He also, to me, has a lot of work to do as a quarterback. He's a gunslinger. I personally don't like his release point. I don't like his decision-making. Some of the things that I saw during camp last year, it just doesn't seem like he values the possession of the ball as much as you would like for somebody in that particular quarterback role. But I don't know what has happened since then. I'm looking forward to seeing his development here in this camp.
I'll say this when it comes to Will Grier. First and foremost, as you stated, he needs more development. Mm-hmm. And that's obvious, which is why he's quarterback 3 on an NFL team. Now, I will also say this. He's good enough to play at this level, which is why he's quarterback on an NFL team. So for him, it's just about trying to pry open that window, because the window was wide open for him last offseason. I sat there in training camp during
feels
the
like
summer.
Feels like summer camp. Basically summer camp.
This one time at band camp. So I sat there in training camp in July in Oxnard, and I saw that most of the big plays that were being made, whether it was, you know, the one-handed catch from T.J. Vasher, whether it was big plays being made by Simi Fehoko, after those plays, if you looked to see who was under center, more often than not, it was Will Grier. Yeah. It wasn't Cooper Rush as far as running with the second team. So Will Grier took a massive Kentucky Derby-style lead over Cooper Rush, but then the injury.
Yep.
And the timing is everything. Yep. It can work against you or it can blow up in your face. The timing of his injury was such that the Cowboys didn't have time to get more game reps in from him post-injury before Dak Prescott went down with injury, so they had to sit back and make a decision. Split decision. It came down to Cooper Rush, and then Cooper Rush took it. You know what he did? 4-1. He earned the spot. But I will go ahead.
Yeah, his opportunity was that Denver practices.
Fair.
And the fact that he couldn't practice, I remember we were calling that practice. The fact that he could not practice that day, it was a wrap that day.
It was also very hot that day. It was weird. It was hot in Denver that day.
Smeltering.
But I will say he has an opportunity still to – I will disagree in that it's – okay, it's shut, but it's not painted shut. Let me put it that way. The window can still be open, because even with a two-year deal on Cooper Rush, if you look at it contractually, the Cowboys are not going to move on from Cooper Rush this year, but they have an out next year. So if Will Grier can come into training camp and regain his stride he had last year, at least he puts in the Cowboys' head, combined with the new rule that basically gives them carte blanche to carry him without sacrificing a roster spot, he can put in their head, well, maybe 2024 is the year of Will Greer being QB2, because at that point, if you want to make that move, you can do so, move on from Cooper Rush and not take a dead money hit. So that's in the conversation as well.
Yeah, and at the quarterback position, momentum and timing is half the battle, especially when you're in the depth of a quarterback roster and, you know, trying to earn some snaps, especially in Will Greer's case here. Momentum and timing didn't quite work in his favor last year. You know, he would have had an opportunity to be a backup quarterback or, you know, potentially get some snaps whenever Dak went down, but, you know, he wasn't able to be there for that. So can he regain that momentum and timing? Absolutely. It's always a possibility. Like you said, the door is not painted shut, but, you know, we're getting the Sherwin Williams out. You know?
Yeah. I just wonder, though, you know, and it's hard because we haven't had a chance to talk to these guys in so long, but I just wonder what his mentality is going into this, because, you know, the joke, for lack of a better term, is that being a backup quarterback is the best spot on an NFL roster because you get paid and you don't have to do as much work unless your name is called upon.
Cooper Rush ain't hurting.
And so I just wonder, from that aspect, when it comes to Will Greer, you know, what his mentality is. I know you mentioned he's a competitor, but, like, how competitive is he really? Is he really being? I think OTAs this week gives us a good opportunity.
He's a huge competitor, and his fires were stoked as he had to sit on the sideline and nurse that injury. And you hate knowing that you have the lead to take this particular position from an incumbent, and then the injury kind of derails it. So he's had to sit for most of the season on the inactives and trying to figure things out. He's been kind of champing at the bit to get this opportunity, and this new rule allows the Cowboys to carry him without sacrificing a spot. So he has to look at it as just that, an opportunity. Yeah. It might be your final one with this organization, but that should add that much more fire to his motivation to say, hey, it's quite literally now or never.
His mindset going into OTAs and then obviously following the break going into training camp has to be to disrupt the order of the backup quarterback position. You understand, as a player, my opportunity's probably gone. You understand that. That's not to say that the door's closed, okay? But it's a little bit of a Debo crack in the window, okay? Right? So it's a little bit of a crack. Get your fingernails under there, okay? Yeah, yeah. But you understand, okay, contractually, they're committed to this guy. I missed my window last year, okay? Now I can either be content, right, and just kind of chill and just kind of just know that they're probably not – now that this new rule enables me to remain on the roster, da-da-da-da-da. Or you can say, you know what, I'm about to make life, you know, living hell for Cooper Rush, you know. And I'm going to make them have to make a decision. And if so much so where they're going to have to figure out when the season comes, who's number two that day.
Yep.
Right. Maybe it's a situational thing based upon your opponent. Right. But I want them to have to make that decision. Exactly. That's the competitor mindset that he now has to have going into this camp. Hey, you're my boy, but I promise you, if you slip up and have a bad day, I'm gonna be on you. I'm just Mr. Postman.
Which is how he was in training camp last.
Yes, he was.
Last July, he was exactly that every single day. He and Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott. That is a very, very tight knit quarterback room. But when it's time to compete, and you're competing for snaps and reps and contract and et cetera, he was as competitive as anyone else you would have seen on that field. And what I'll say about his skill set is Will Greer has to know, and I'm sure he does know, these are an apple and an orange when it comes to Cooper Rush versus Will Greer. Will Greer is much more of a raw version of Dak Prescott, right? He has mobility. He has the big arm. He's the gunslinger. He takes risks. Cooper Rush doesn't have a ton of mobility. He has some, but not the same, right? He doesn't have the...
What you're going to get out of Cooper Rush every week.
He doesn't have the cannon arm.
Are you ready?
And the last thing Cooper Rush does is take a risk, right? That's the last thing he does. He is a game manager. I'm not saying that in a bad way, because you can win games.
As a backup quarterback, that's fantastic.
Listen to that. Absolutely. Cooper Rush is smooth jazz, and Will Greer is Little John. Okay, you just don't know what you're going to get. You know what I'm saying?
Crunk juice.
It's just turn up.
Will Greer is crunk juice.
So you take the good with the bad, to your point. But right now, not only – the only way he's going to be able to disrupt that room is by getting knit tight with his receivers. The second string and third string receivers have to be his best friends. They got to be playing Madden at his house. Right, you know, they have to be going to the moves. They got to be going bowling. They got to be playing putt-putt golf. They got to be doing everything together. Those have to be his dogs, because not only starting here in OTAs, all the way through training camp, those are going to be the guys he's taking reps with.
Yeah.
And then if you're blessed and you're absolutely killing it, guess what? Then you get to throw the CD.
Yeah.
Right? Then you get to throw it. You know what I'm saying? Then you get to throw.
You got
to
earn that.
Yeah. You get to throw it to the dog on boomerang. You know, all these guys. You're going to have to work your way up to it. So he needs to build this community so that those guys have a trust factor with him. And I think we saw that last camp We saw that last camp where their guys were had a little bit more juice when Will was under center. And they wanted to make the big play when Will was under center.
Greer and Simi, that connection last summer was outstanding.
So that's the only way that I can see him overshadowing what Cooper Rush is. And now, in order to do that, you're going to – those amazing players are going to have to be absolutely amazing. Yeah. Your lows cannot be – you can't make bad decision makers. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, good conversation there. Obviously, OTA started yesterday. We're going to get into that on the other side of this break. Let's go ahead and take it here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Want to use the Cowboys locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes four Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm super excited about this, y'all. Spanish soccer giants Real Madrid and FC Barcelona meet in Texas for the first time ever at AT&T Stadium as a leg of the 2023 Soccer Champions Tour. Don't miss your chance to see these storied rivals in action at AT&T Stadium on July 29th, 2023. Tickets are now on sale at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing provider of AT&T Stadium. I am honestly devastated that I have to miss that because that it will be a training camp.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll be it. We'll have just freshly
we'll be watching.
To
we'll be watching
camp.
To see if Will Greer can.
y'all don't mind if I dip out for a day to come to that because
you got the PJ.
That's an incredible.
Squeeze me.
That's an incredible soccer matchup.
I saw that when it first
Mr.
came out.
Mr. Jones, if you will miss it.
I know. I've seen Barcelona play once. It was when I was in Miami and they played Inter Miami and it was when they first signed Robert Lewandowski, who's like one of the best strikers in the world. So it was like our first opportunity to see him in a Barcelona jersey. And they wrecked Inter Miami, but it was cool to see everybody there.
That's pretty
there's
big
levels.
Pretty big deal because there's levels in soccer.
I know.
That is the hardest sport to stand out in.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's difficult about it too is especially when you get to like the Premier League, La Liga, the Italian League, all of these leagues, you have these players who are so solidified in their spots. There's not really any rotation. So kind of like Will Greer, like, you know, you get your opportunities and they
windows
disappear.
Yep.
Really, your only opportunities you get in soccer is garbage time minutes. So you're talking the last 10 minutes of a game plus stoppage time, injury. So maybe you come in after an injury. And with soccer, it's so, you know, like results driven that if you get in as a sub and you do nothing, like that's it.
You're just another guy.
That's it.
Cold world.
You don't make the 53.
Cold world. Get a bus. Cold.
Anyways, let me get off my soccer soapbox because I could be here all day. Let's transition into organized team activities.
Otis.
They started yesterday, OTAs, a lot of new faces in the building, mixing with those veterans who are finally coming back and you know, getting back into the groove of things. It was nice to see the rookies kind of get their feet wet. I mentioned this last week. It's so fun just to see them, you know, like walk around the building with their eyes open and they just don't know where to go, or they're trying to find their meeting or the lunch table. But that kind of goes away this week. Now they're into big boy football. They're competing with the guys who are their veterans, their superiors. What are some things that we're looking for out of this week? I know we will get a chance to talk with them on Thursday at OTAs at the media availability, but just this week, what are some things that we're looking for in this roster in terms of developing for training camp?
For me, and I'll take the segue from the rookies, and I'll go with the obvious and the not so obvious. Obviously, I'm ready to see Mozzie Smith. Now, keep in mind, I mean, there'll be some 7-on-7s, 9-on-9s, 11-on-11s, but no contact is allowed, ladies and gentlemen. So keep that in mind. So we're not going to see Mozzie Smith out there trying to bulldoze through anyone. But I'm interested to see how quickly he can refine his already stellar technique to take the next step at the NFL. I'm looking to see his interactions with some of these veterans. I'm looking to see, other than Osa Odighizuwa and Micah Parsons and Jonathan Hankins, you know, who he's building instant relationships and chemistry with across that defensive line and in the linebacker corps. So I'm looking for that as well. We spoke with Mozzie on minute one, day one, and the entirety of that day, he just kept displaying his hunger to get on the field.
Yeah.
Now he's going to be on the field with the veterans. So let's see how that goes.
Yeah, I loved how anytime you asked Mozzie, and even this was when we got to talk to him at rookie camp, anytime you asked him, like, how good does it feel to be here? Every single time his response was, I'm not getting too excited. I'm just ready to go.
He's ready to go.
Every time. There was never any, even when we were given the tour around the building, he was as even keel as he could have possibly been.
With that evil grin.
Even whenever sinister grin. Tell he was excited. He's like, nah, I'm just ready to play ball. Like, that's it.
That,
like,
sinister grin.
That, to me, is what a competitor looks like.
Yeah, and that's my obvious because, you know, first-round pick, a lot comes with that, and everybody's going to have all eyes on him. But then my not-so-obvious is I'm so intrigued. But I mean, I'm intrigued by several of these rookies. Asim, you know, Viliami, for example, a huge fan of Viliami's motor and his aptitude for football violence. But Eric Scott, I can't shake the way Will McClay lights up when talking about this young man, to the point where, yes, I've seen the film and I've seen the good and the bad. And the good is he can take the ball away. You talk about his two pick sixes in 2022. He has potential. He has the ceiling. But then he also needs development. He's raw as well. And I want to see how quickly he can develop under guys like Al Harris and obviously Dan Quinn. But I'm interested to see what McClay saw through Will McClay's eyes that had him sit back and say, Jerry, we need to trade a 2024 pick to move up to 178 for this kid. So I know he's much faster than that 4.72 on a tweet quad. He has the prototypical length as far as what Dan Quinn likes to see in defensive backs. But something about Eric Scott just kind of it makes me intrigued enough to say, hey, when I'm out there looking at the Deuce Vaughns on offense, when I'm out there looking at the first-round pick Mozzie Smith on defense, I'm also trying to figure out where Eric Scott is because I'm also interested to see how he can try to carve his way into a defensive back rotation that's already seemingly locked up in the top four spots.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm looking for OTAs specifically is interior offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know, who's getting those reps? Who's coming in? Who's the coaching staff laying their trust on? Last week, Stephen Jones, we were able to talk to him at an availability, and he really talked up Chuma Edoga. So, you know, that's a guy I want to see out there for the first time and, you know, see how he's going.
And people have forgotten. People have forgotten about Chuma.
And he mentioned Chuma probably three or four times. So, you know, that's definitely something to look out for. And then also, there's a narrative going around that Stephon Gilmore isn't. He's washed, right?
Yeah, but that's been the narrative since they signed him.
Exactly. So
if he had signed with another team.
Yeah, they said the same thing about T.Y. Hilton when they added T.Y. Hilton, and he proved his value almost immediately.
Why isn't he back yet?
Absolutely. But if Stephon Gilmore can even bring 85% of what his peak has been, or even 90, whatever, we're looking at a defense that can take away the boundary and work completely between the hashes. And, you know, that's what you want if you're Dan Quinn, because you got guys in the draft that can operate between the hashes. Mm-hmm. So
funnel them into Damone and LVE and a little bit of Overshown.
That's where I'm looking at Overshown. Right? I'm looking at the chemistry. I mean, there's only so much you're going to see in OTA. So, I mean, I don't want to temper everybody's
because it's an
excitement.
Install. It's
right?
An install.
Yeah, it's an install. So you're looking for how fast can these rookies really – digest information and then apply it. Mm-hmm. And then what is their comfort level within that, right? So whether that be at the second level with Overshown or on defense, or whether that be at the receiver position, right? How are these guys taking the information that they're receiving and then obviously being able to apply it with a level of comfort that they can start applying their confidence as players? There's a difference between being a confident player and being a confident player within a system. Mm-hmm. And whenever there is that divisive line that's separating those two, you don't get the player that you expect. So the faster that they can come in and learn and get adapted to their environment and feel comfortable within their system, right? Learn the offense, learn the defense. Then I can start playing and using my assets as the player that you guys know me to be on film, mm-hmm. and I'll start showing that on the field. But until those two things mesh, I'm going to be a shadow of who you guys think I'm going to be.
But yeah. there's one more thing, and this is – I'll segue this to a conversation that you and I had offline yesterday. Deuce Vaughn, this is going to be – as they're starting to do some installs, this is going to be the first real look we get at what might hint at Deuce Vaughn's role on special teams. Mm-hmm. Because speaking of narratives, there is a narrative out there outside of the building that says, oh, well, Deuce is going to come in and challenge Kevontae Turpin for one or both of the return positions.
I want two punt returners.
I was just saying, it's me. I'm people.
You're people.
Yeah, right? I'm people.
I'm that guy. That's, don't let me be Bones Fossil. I have two returners back there.
I know.
But in speaking – but if you listen to what Bones is saying – at least right now, as we have this conversation, that's not how Bones is looking at Deuce Vaughn. So he's looking at Deuce Vaughn as potentially a personal protector. Like, these are Bones Fossil's words, right? So to me, number one, first and foremost, Kevontae Turpin has not only not done anything to lose the job, he's coming off of a Pro Bowl season as a rookie in which he entered the season and training camp having not had a break from a USFL MVP season. So you have to put all of that contextually and say this guy didn't take a breather and he was still a Pro Bowler. You don't then come into the next season and say, oh, we drafted this rookie, so now it's not a competition at returner. Now, can it be? Yes, Deuce can make it one if Deuce gets out there beginning in OTAs and then minicamp and training camp, and because he's going to get some reps as a returner, punt and kick, so Fossil can kind of gauge it, because at worst, you have him as insurance back there. But outright, it's not a competition.
Yeah, and there's not as much context, I think, as some people may believe when it comes to Deuce Vaughn
returning.
Yeah,
give it to him here.
7 kick returns for 145 yards as a freshman at Kansas State, and that's it.
Yeah, so, science.
You know, not a ton of context. That being said, his traits, his mobility, you can throw him back there. He was getting some work in rookie minicamp. Like you said, is he going to get some reps? Absolutely. Yeah. But Kevontae Turpin is coming off a USFL MVP and a Pro Bowl appearance. His name's on the wall.
Let me ask you this. And this is not like a dig at Kevontae. I think that he brings this very special, skill set to this roster. In terms of versatility, that's been the conversation since the end of last year, even in the beginning of the season. This team's identity has been versatility. What can I get out of you and you, and how can I mix this around and do that? So in terms of versatility, what does Kevontae Turpin bring you? And I'm not dogging him. I think he's a fantastic returner. You could feel the energy every single time there was a kick or a punt at AT&T Stadium last year, and I imagine it was the same on the road.
Especially in the press box.
I just think in terms of what they can offer, Deuce Vaughn, and I get it, like, he's small, he's a rookie, we have a lot of expectations, we're putting a lot of pressure on him. But when you just look at it on paper, like, they were not allowing Kevontae to be a part of the offense last year. For whatever their reason was, he was not involved in the offense in terms of getting in on snaps, catching passes. The one time we really got to see him was when he got lit up in the 49ers game in the last play of that game. Mm-hmm. So he's not involved in the offense. I don't know if that changes going into this year. But then when you look at what Deuce Vaughn can offer, he can return. He can do punts. Mm-hmm. I imagine he's getting several reps at that. Mm-hmm. He can catch it out of the backfield. He's fast. He's a strong runner.
I see what you're doing there. I see what you're doing.
From a versatility standpoint.
You're picking up what you're putting up?
I'm picking up what you're putting up. I think they both have equally have the same versatility. The difference is, last year, they asked one thing of Turpin.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, that's all he had to worry about. Come in and be the dynamic returner that we need you to be. We don't need you to play receiver. Mm-hmm. We need a return man, and you better be electrifying. And I was blessed to be able to call that game where he went back-to-back, right? Yeah. So that was absolutely amazing. That's all he had to do. Mm-hmm. That's not all he could do, right? So what you're demanded to do and what you're capable of doing, two separate things, right? He checked the box that they asked him to check. Now he has a full offseason. Now he has that spot solidified.
But do you
now,
see him
absolutely
on the
because when we saw him last year practicing against the Chargers, he was lighting him up in practice. Absolutely lighting them up. Every time we turn around, big play, big play, big play. And that was just in a little bit of a cup size that they gave him in terms of responsibilities on offense. So now that you have a full offseason, he doesn't have the butterflies. He doesn't have those nerves running, trying to figure out, am I going to make the roster? Mm-hmm. There's so much stress with that. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There's so much stress with that. The fact that he was able to perform under that stress lets you know who he is and what he's capable of. That box is now checked. He can put that behind him. Now I don't have to worry about, do I have a roster spot? Now my concern is, how can I be a better receiver so that I can be utilized more, right, and I can bring more value? That's his focus now. Last year, his focus was simply just making the doggone roster. He was happy to have an invite to camp.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm going to answer it this way, piggybacking off of what Isaiah is saying. The versatility is absolutely there with Kevontae Turpin as much as it is with Deuce Vaughn. Mm-hmm. It goes to, like Isaiah said, what you're being asked to do or what you're not being asked to do. So I think there are two reasons that the Cowboys scaled back and didn't allow Kevontae Turpin to take many offensive reps. Number one, he was much too valuable mm-hmm. as a returner, and they did not have an insurance policy at returner. So if you lose Kevontae Turpin on an inside slant from the side,
CD's your backup.
And the CD's your backup, and now CD being your number one wide receiver, the domino effect is just yep. tragic. So that's one. Number two, we talk about him not having a break between his MVP USFL season yep. and joining Cowboys in training camp. So do you really want to run him into the ground like that, knowing you have a 17-game season plus hopefully a playoff run? You have to – it's load management without obviously it admitting it as load management. But here's one more thing I'll say. Standing there on the sideline day-to-day in training camp in Oxnard last summer – I saw Kevontae Turpin on offense, mm-hmm. and he's got it, mm-hmm. okay? I saw him line up in the slot and go with the slant and come with the outs. I also saw him go to the boundary and take the top off on more than one occasion and come down with
when it came
catches,
his way, he came
come down
with,
catches that technically should only be acquired mm-hmm. by the bigger guys, the guys with the bigger catch radius. Here's the small guy climbing the ladder. He was making the plays, so I saw it in real time. I saw the receipts, so I know what he can do. So yeah. that's why over the course of the season, when we were asking why not get him more involved, from my standpoint, it's because I saw what he can do. Mm-hmm. So going into this season, full off season, he had a break. He gets to come back refreshed. I expect to see more of him on offense, also because Deuce Vaughn is an insurance policy if Kevontae is injured.
And from an offensive standpoint, Kevontae Turpin, when he was most dangerous at TCU, it was coming out of the backfield and doing jet sweeps, mm-hmm. and whether it was lining up or motioning in, and he was super, super dangerous. I encourage everybody to go look back at that TCU tape. But I think your latter point was the most important, the load management. Yeah. You know, you don't want your Pro Bowl returner playing offense every down. So I think going into training camp, seeing how many reps he gets, and especially going into preseason, when he comes into the game from an offensive standpoint, that's going to be really important. But like the discussions we've had on here in the past, the wide receiver four conversation is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's where my mentality is. Like going into, like you said, I get the load management, and I'm not saying he's not capable of doing those things. He's perfectly capable. He's MVP for a reason, regardless of the league. I just worry it's a crowded wide receiver mm-hmm. room. I worry that, you know, maybe that is his role, where he stays at being a returner, and that's what he's really good at for the entirety of his career. So definitely something to pay attention to for OTAs. We are running tight on time, so let's go ahead and take our second and final break here on Talking Cowboys. We'll come back and we'll talk about this roster a little bit more. We'll tie some loose ends and send this show on the road. We'll be right back.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know. I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper, swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Want to use the Cowboys locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes four Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word Cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to our final few minutes here on Talkin' Cowboys. Tee up your game in style with Dallas Cowboys Nike golf gear. Score polos and accessories at the nearest pro shop or online at shop.dallas.com. A Fanatics experience. Well, gentlemen, we were going to wrap up because the NFL listed the Cowboys as the top five most complete roster, and that's what I wanted to talk about to wrap up the show. But in the break, we got a little bit of breaking news, for lack of better terms. So I'm going to go over to Nick. And Nick, you can explain the new rule that NFL teams will see this season.
Yeah, absolutely. So NFL owners once again enacting a rule that will cause some controversy. The NFL owners this morning approved the resolution putting the ball on the 25-yard line following a fair catch on a kickoff. A note that special team coordinators around the league unanimously opposed the change, but it is happening. So,
oh, man, what's that smell? Is that that? Oh, that's trash. That's right.
Basura.
That's trash. Exactly. Basura. That we just finished talking about Kevon.
I was not expecting that.
That's just how I feel.
I was literally like,
it's so bad.
It's trash. We just spoke in the second segment about Kevontae Turpin and Deuce Vaughn's potential value as returners. Here comes the NFL completely just kneecapping that whole conversation, not only for Turpin, but just returners around the league, because you're rewarding fair catches. Mm-hmm. You're rewarding, you know, touchbacks because you're doing all you can to incrementally, and now you're picking up the pace, but incrementally just abolish kick returns. Ultimately, yeah, that's what the NFL is leading towards, abolishing kick returns. So now if I'm Kevontae Turpin, where are my offensive reps?
Give me the reps.
Give me my offensive reps, because I'm clearly not going to be able to see as much action on special teams. So give me my shots at receiver.
And I think something that's interesting that's happened in the college game with this rule is if you wave the fair catch, and let's say you're on the 2-yard line and you muff it and pick it up at the 3, you're still down at the 3. You can't advance it, and you have to start your offensive drive at the 3-yard line. So that's going to come into play at some point this season with some team, and that's going to be the one that makes everybody lose their minds.
So it's now, I mean, the percentages of actual kickoff return are so low now.
Right.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like really, what's the point? Unless you want us just squib kicking everything, because that's what it's going to turn into.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to actually return the ball, you're going to have to squib it.
Yeah, I'm wondering as well if it has anything to do, and this is just pure speculation, something that just came to my head. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with injuries, possibly. I don't know if being able to have a little bit more space, a little bit more time to make decisions, and you're rewarded for that behavior. I'm just trying to find one redeeming quality in terms
of
how this
continue
can be
to
positive.
Claim it's based upon player safety.
Yeah.
They're going
to
continue to claim that the numbers show that kickoff return is the highest risk of all plays on the field over the course of a football game, and that's why they've instituted this rule and then the rule prior. They're restructuring the whole return game because they basically, let's just be honest, they want to abolish the return game as a whole.
Listen, I don't want to get into this because there's actual science
to
this.
You got your shoulders all puffed up a little bit.
I'm a returner, right? So I'm speaking from the person who would actually get destroyed as on that play, okay? When they took away the wedge, that took away the high probability of a concussion. If they really want to take away go another layer deeper, okay, take away crackbacks. Crackbacks on kickoff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? The kickoff return team should not be allowed to crack back if you really want to lower concussions. Don't take away the return.
Right.
Don't take away the return. And don't go to the freaking XFL and their whole little wait till somebody catch. That's I don't like that either.
It's so overwhelming
just
to watch.
Get rid of
the
wedge, which they already did. Get rid of the crackbacks. Now where is the injury in terms of head? I'm running back as a frontline guy on kickoff return. I am turning, the ball's kicked, I'm opening up, I'm sprinting back 20, 25 yards, I'm settling my feet, and then I'm coming and I'm blocking you with my hands.
Dude,
where is the head trauma?
They just neutered one of the most electrifying types of plays in the NFL, return. That's where we are.
Squid. So
that's, yeah. Squid. Now, like Nick said, they claim that it's a one-year trial. I don't buy that because I understand the psychology of trying to reduce the immediate outrage by saying, hey, we're just trying it out. This is money on the table. This is going to stick.
And then on a Friday night next year, they're just going to go ahead and approve it.
Yeah, money on the table. Like, this is going to stick.
Like during round two of the draft. You know, hey, this is approved, by the way. All right, so next pick.
Just slide it in there.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting. The season will definitely look a little bit different in terms of some of these new rules. So good insight from you guys. That's going to do it, though, for our time here on Talking Cowboys. Thanks so much for letting me talk with you guys on these lovely Talking Tuesday.
Fun as always.
It's been such a good time. Kyle will be back next week. I will be back on Girls Talk Boys Talk next week, so we will be back into our way of life, and then training camp will be here.
No more unicorns
before we know it. I know. Sorry.
I've never been invited on Girls Talk Boys Talk.
Well, that'll do it for Talking Cowboys. We'll see you guys next week.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?